lot of you expecting to get to heaven and just tiptoe through the tulips for about 10 years.
Oh, thank the Lord. I'm not going to have to work anymore. Daddy, daddy, daddy.
You're going to have to go to school. Learn faith. It is still impossible to please Him without faith. I don't care if you're on Heaven's Golden Avenue or 141st Street. I don't care where you are. In the middle of Harlem or in the throne room of God. You have to walk by faith. And if you don't know how to walk by faith, you're not going to go bouncing into the throne room of God until you learn how to walk by faith. Amen. You may be there a while. Oral Roberts said something the other night that on television really, really got to me. He said the Lord asked him one time, he said, Oral, you want to come up here with scars or without them? Did you see that? You see him say that? And Oral said, well, no, Lord, I don't want to come empty-handed. I want to come with scars. He said, well, you're grapping for then. You getting them. What are you sitting around howling about it for? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. We're going to have some fun with this in a minute. Now, God hath revealed them. Now, back up. Look at that ninth verse again and see what He revealed. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, now, wait a minute. We're not only talking about the deep things of God. He said not only the depth, but the height. Not only the depth and the height, but the length and the breadth. Huh? Now, listen to this. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? The only way you could ever know what's really going on inside me is to be in me. You don't know anybody but yourself. Some of you don't know nothing about yourself. Walking around saying, who am I? That is the dumbest excuse for sinning that ever came on down the pike. Why did you do such a dumb thing?
Well, I just don't know who I am.
Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're either one of two people. You're either a child of the devil or a child of God. If you're a child of the devil, you're acting like the devil. If you're a child of God, you ought to be acting like God. And if you're a child of God, you ought to stand up and say, thank God I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in me. That's who I am. And I'll tell you again, Mr. Devil, if you want to hear it. Amen. Yeah, that's who I am. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now look at what He did here. He set man over here and He set God over here. And He says, now no man knows what's in himself but his own spirit in himself. That's the only way you can really tell what's going on in me. The only one that really knows is me. You really dig in there deep, that's the only one other than God. But He said, what man knows? See, when talking about God, He said, what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man that's in the man? And here He says, now over here we've got God, so what man knows what's in God but God? See, man don't know what's in God. God knows what's in God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? why did we receive the Spirit of God? Now, he's gotten God over here into man. Well, now, if he's in there, I ought to know something about him. Yeah, if I'm in here, I know something about me. Well, if he's in there, how come I don't know something about him? Huh? Don't you think I should? He's in there with me. The only problem is I hadn't been paying any attention to him. I've been paying too much attention to me. And I really hadn't been paying attention to me. I've been paying attention to my flesh. And that's not me or him, either one. Now, he's already said no man glories in his flesh. Remember we were talking about the glory? Strengthened with might in the inner man according to his glory. He says you can't get a hold of that glory with the flesh. Talking about the spirit of man. And the Spirit of God has come in to the spirit of man. Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He wanted you to know. Well, what is it he wanted you to know? The things freely given to us of God. Well, what are freely given to us of God? All that God has. He said, all the Father has is mine. And I said, when he comes, he'll take what's mine, show it unto you. Well, evidently, he's given us all that the Father has. And it's already in there. You're not going to have to go far to find it. He's already in there. I don't have to go begging him for something that's going to have to come someday. He's already in there. Now, I'm going to say something right here I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, so you're going to have to listen now because I don't want you to get your feelings hurt about something. All right? You know I love you, don't you? A lot of you are seeking somebody else to get inner healing. There's nothing wrong with you being healed on the inside. But you're not talking about your spirit when you use that phrase. And don't get the idea that you are. There's not anything in the Bible that talks about your spirit being healed. Your spirit didn't get healed, it got recreated. Now, your mind needs to be renewed. And there's where you're having problems with that old life. Not in your spirit. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new where your spirit's concerned. But you're going to have to get your mind renewed. Now, what are we talking about in this renewing? He's talking about us knowing all the things that are freely given to us of God. You're not going to have so much difficulty needing inner healing. I appreciate why people have called it that, but it would be to our advantage to begin to take sights on it in the Scripture of what it really is, and it really is a transformation that comes from the renewing of the mind. So if we begin to make our terminology plain Scripture, then when we go to the Word, we won't have any hard time finding it. You're not going to find that inner healing mentioned in the Bible. And it's there, but it's not called that, see? I never will forget the first time I ever got my concordance and tried to find the rapture. It isn't in there. Because it's not called rapture. Rapture is a word that means catching away. Well, when I found that out, I could find it, see? But somebody had called it rapture, rapture this, rapture that. I was trying to find the rapture, and I thought, this thing ain't even in the Bible. It is the transformation that occurs by the renewing of the mind in the Word of God by the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. Now, one of the keys to receiving from God is to, well, not one of, it is the major key of receiving from God, is to go to the Word of God and find out what already belongs to me and then receive it by faith as mine before I have any evidence that it has come. If I don't receive it by faith before I have any physical sign or something that it's there, then I don't have any grounds upon which to receive it. See? I mean, that's like telling the stove, give me some heat and I'll put in some wood. You got a standoff going that will never end. You're going to have to change because the stove can't change. You and I are going to have to change because God can't change. The move is on our part. He's already given the revelation. He's already given Jesus. He's already sent the Holy Ghost. You've already made Him Lord. He's already in there. Now you're going to have to make the next move. See? I need my mind renewed, Lord. Some of this old junk that is in my life before I got saved, been trying to slip back into my life. Now, I've experienced this. I'm just quoting that. I have to do this all the time. I'm not going to let that stuff get back in there and take me over. And well, Lord, I need my mind renewed in this. But here now I see that already belongs to me. I see that in my spirit dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I need manifestation of that in my life. And I begin to confess that and pray that and so forth. I receive the renewing of my mind by the Word of God. Now, Father, as I read the Bible here, I'm asking you to minister to my mind and minister to my inner man. And as it does so, flow out of my spirit into my flesh. I take authority over my flesh. I'm not gonna come under domination of my flesh. Amen. And let that flow out into my flesh. And all this stuff that the devil's trying to throw back into my way, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and renounce it and I cast it out. See? Now, am I getting inner healing? Yes. Yeah. But let's call it what it is. The renewing of the mind. The transformation that comes from the renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 12. Now, I didn't say you couldn't call it inner healing and all that. I don't want to make another 8 million people mad at me. But I am telling you something that will help you. I don't know. I'm kind of funny about that. I don't know where maybe it came from my flying background of what it is. But when I found out that the little flippity flaps out on the end of the wings were called ailerons, I never did call them flippity flaps again. You know, I just didn't. When I walk up to another pilot and I say, you ought to see what happened to my flippity flaps. You don't know what I'm talking about. Flippity flaps. What's a flippity flap? Well, I've heard them call that. You know, I never did call them that, but I've heard people call them. What them little flippity flaps on the wing there? What that doodad is? And you come up to some other guy, you know, and you say, well, I just wanted to ask you a question about the flippity flaps and the doodads. And he says, well, I'll tell you what a doodad is, because that's what his daddy called a thing on the front of the car. He's talking doodad, you're talking doodad. You talking about an airplane doodad, he talking about a car doodad. And the two of you talk doodad all day, and neither one of you know what the other one's talking about. He's saying, I knocked a doodad off when I went into the garage. You think the sucker crashed into the garage? Dear Lord. Wonder what kept him killing him. But you see, if we come to some standard with one another, man, we can get somewhere. We begin to talk God's talk instead of making up this stuff on our own. Amen. And don't misunderstand me again. I'm not knocking you, your deal. But if we'll... This is really where a lot of the problems have come, was because of our Pentecostal language, our Baptist language, our Catholic language, you know, our Methodist language. And some guy comes off the street, he can't understand any of it. Really? Yeah. And then we read the Bible translated, particularly King James Version, translated by fellows that talked a different language than we do, even though it's English. Translated from Greek, from Hebrew to Latin to Greek to English, that's 500, 600, 700, 800 years old. And what if we'd have translated it, you know, for a generation way down the road there, and we wrote our street language in there? Jesus went down to the shore, cooked fish, can you dig it? And then somebody digged that text up 400 years from now. And he's standing there teaching on it. Yes, amen. Jesus went down to the shore and dug this big hole. And all of them dug. Well, if we just stick with the word, we wouldn't have communication problems like that, see? All right. Praise God. Oh, Lord. Amen. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Now that's just what I was talking about. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Not comparing spiritual things with some carnal thing that we made up. Well, Brother Copeland, I believe that the reason so-and-so died and went to heaven is because God was lonesome and he needed another little angel. Come on, man, ain't nothing more but a string of bull. And it's bad enough trying to put it on me and me 48 years old. It's without putting it on some six-year-old child and let him grow up with that phony junk in his mind. And he comes along later and he finds out Santa Claus is a phony and he finds out the dumb Easter Bunny is a phony and he's going to qualify Jesus right along in there with us in the same category and he's going to treat him phony. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. That's what I like about Willie George. Man, these kids are learning the Word of God. My little five-year-old grandson, 5 years old, came in to his mother just a few days ago and he said, "Mother, God spoke to me last Tuesday and let me know for sure that I'm called to preach." 5 and a half years old. And the biggest influence in his life has been the things he's learned in there with Gospel Bill and Bartimaeus and all that bunch back. I'm telling you, he's teaching those kids the Word of God. Amen. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that's spiritual judges all things, yet he himself judged no man. For who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Now see how all that's tied up in there together? Now, you could go ahead and read this third chapter and you would see that he's talking to them about getting into strife, and he said by strife they've been placed in a position in the third verse where you are carnal and walk as natural men. In other words, if you stay in that strife, you're not going to be able to know the things freely given to us of God. Strife had placed them from men that had received the Spirit which is of God, yet it had brought them into a place where they couldn't hear the things of God. They became foolishness to them. It sounded the same to them as it did to men that were not born again. Had reduced them to that level. Now, does that sober you up a little bit? Now, I want to wind this down with this, if I can. Go back to that second chapter of Colossians. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now the devil has been completely and totally triumphed over. Forgiving you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or the handwriting on the note that was against you. I mean, it didn't just cancel the note, folks. It blotted out the handwriting on it. There is no note left. You don't have any debt to the flesh. You don't have any debt to the devil. You don't have any past to pay for. I mean, it has not been just canceled. It's been blotted out. There is no evidence you ever lived beyond the point you got born again. Brother Copeland, I just don't think I could live that life. Well, no, you can't. Can't anybody. That's the reason he came. That's the reason the Holy Ghost has come. That's the reason he's come in, to reveal these things to you, to show you. When you see it, it gives you the power. It transforms your mind. It transforms your spirit. It transforms your tongue. It transforms your eyes. It transforms your wants. It transforms your desires. It transforms everything around you. Transform your body. The handwriting of the note has been blotted out. Now, go back over there, John 16, and I'll bring this point up to you. You remember we said there in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul said, are you not yet carnal? Talking about them being in strife and divisions and envyings among them. Let me ask you something. Let's say we get crosswise one another over anything. Is there any joy in that?
Oh, yes.
Not any, is there? It's not a joyful thing. Now, there's some people that enjoy a fuss, but there's no joy in the fuss. Doesn't bring joy. Here we are again, 16th chapter of John. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I shall say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now wait a minute. Strengthened with might. Let's go back over and get that. Strengthened with might. Where was that? Ephesians 3. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What was that in Colossians 1 about? I, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The spiritual force of joy, it's already in there. And it is the important portion of that might that God strengthens the inner man with to cause him to understand and comprehend God. Now listen to that. You'll have to catch the flow of this. We've had the wrong idea of joy. We thought joy was hee-doo-doo-doo-doo, and that was about it. But happiness and joy are two different things. Joy is spiritual strength, and it's designed to do a job. When you're releasing joy, the joy of the Lord, when you're walking in joy, you can't walk in strife. Strife closes off the mind. It closes off. It actually affects your body. I've had this demonstrated to me. There was a doctor demonstrated this to me. He had me laying out on a table, and he said, "Ken, I want to show you something now." He said, "Now," he said, I'm on a. He said, "Stick your arm right straight up." I stuck my arm up there. He said, "Now, you think about Jesus and purposely be joyful." You can be joyful on purpose. You can't be happy on purpose, but you can be joyful. It'll make you happy. But happiness has to do with the flesh. Joy doesn't have nothing to do with the flesh. He said, in your own mind, be joyful. Think about Jesus. Think about the joy of the Lord. And then put strength in that arm. And don't let me pull it down. So I'm laying there, and the first thing I do is just started praying in tongues. And I started thinking about Jesus and the joy of the Lord, you know. And that's not hard to do. And he grabbed hold of my arm. And man, I wouldn't let him have it. And it took, he had to get one leg up on that table and put all his weight on that arm and pull it down. He said, "Now, raise your arm back up there," and I raise it up there again. He said, "Now, think about somebody that sometime in your life you had a fuss with." "Well, I don't like to do that." And I told him I didn't. He said, "Well, I want you to do it anyway. I want to show you something." He said, "This is not only just a biblical fact, this is a medical fact." And so I did that. He said, "Now put strength in that arm." Boy, I stiffened that arm, and he reached up and got it and he shoved it to the table. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Discouragement comes from the root of self-pity, self-preservation, self-fear, worry about me and mine and how I'm going to come out. Funerals are not based on the guy that died. They're based on poor old me that's left, and what am I going to do without him? And the Word of God said, even concerning those that sleep, we must not be filled with sorrow. And we come along, instead of practicing 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we come along and we swap sorrows and figure there's something wrong with some guy if he's not in deep grief and sorrow, instead of standing together against the spirit of grief and gathering up around one another and destroying that grief before it has time to come in here and destroy the family. How? With the joy of the Lord. With the joy of the Lord. Shirley Boone said when her daddy died, back then, she was about the only witness in the family. It was before that whole family had come to God like they have now. And she and her sister had prayed and stood on the word of God, being determined we're going to be a witness at that funeral instead of just go in there and go along with the rest of it. Because they'd received the Holy Ghost and everybody said they's crazy and lost their mind and everything else. And they called on the joy of the Lord. And they began to be joyous. I'm joyous because I'm joyous, that's all. And just acting on the joy. Acting on it by faith. Acting on it by faith. And God started revealing things to us. That's what it says. The joy of the Lord is strength. When you strengthen with His might in the inner man, you begin to comprehend. You begin to understand. You begin to flow in God. You begin to know more about Him. You begin to figure out how Jesus operated at the tomb of Lazarus. It'll start giving you understanding of the situation you're in. Now, I don't care what you have to do to get it. If you have to jump, shout, praise God, praise and thanksgiving. If you abound in thanksgiving, joy of the Lord will be there. Discouragement comes on by self-pity. I've made up my mind to operate in the joy of the Lord for the rest of my life rather than self-pity when things really come down on me. I'm not going to produce self-pity, which produces discouragement, anymore. The joy of the Lord, because I want to know more about my Father. And she said she and her sister got, by the time they got there and got into that funeral, said they walked in there and something happened to their face. This smile came into Shirley's face. She said, I didn't put that smile there. They took a picture of her and she's standing there at the funeral. She said, I smile all day long. I couldn't quit it. Her folks come up to her and say, oh, Shirley. And she said she didn't quit smiling until, I've forgotten now because it's a long time ago, but it's somewhere late on that evening before her face ever quit. Amen. Amen. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. One of the greatest tape series that's ever been put on tape is what Jerry Savelle preached. If he can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Boy, everybody in the United States ought to own that set of tape. Praise God. Amen. Stand up now. Did you learn anything tonight? The joy keeps the door open. That joyfulness keeps the door open. That joy keeps the door open for revelation which has already come to flow. Now, I'm not talking to you about something that's easy. I don't preach easy stuff. It's not easy. It's easy after it starts flowing. But you have to make one decision right after another to walk in the joy of the Lord. And when you're thinking, oh dear God, nobody cares. I mean, I just praise and shout and go on and on and on and on and on. And look what happened to me. Dear God, I mean, this happened and that happened. What am I going to do now? And you're just looking for a little sympathy. Looked like you folks could understand just a little. And they come in and you say, well, I'm just mistreated. And they say, oh, shut up. Oh, I don't want to hear shut up. You can't be in strife and self-pity and keep on comprehending God. When you're in strife and self-pity, you begin to comprehend the devil. I'll tell you something else you start comprehending. You start comprehending your old failing self. You said you couldn't do it, and sure enough, bless God, you can't. I mean, it's there. But if you'll get up and say, I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus has given me this strength to use, and I'm going to be joyous whether you like it or not, devil! Ha, 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 ha! Gloria was doing a miracle service one Saturday. She had preached all morning Saturday morning, prayed for the sick. I mean, the thing had gone into way into the afternoon. She'd laid hands on hundreds and hundreds of people. Felt drained, worn out. I've forgotten not just how the Lord told her to do it, but He told her to dance before Him. And she turned around and told him to play, blow the trumpet in Zion. Isn't that what you told him to play? And she started dancing before God, both legs feeling like just rubber, you know, just worn out. Started dancing before God. And the joy of the Lord rose up in her. And I was over there at the hotel. She come bouncing back in the hotel, da-da-da-da-da, just having more fun. Everybody. She usually come in there about like that, you know. I just look like she'd been pulled through a knot hole. Lay hands on 1,000 people, you know, or something like that. Man, that's a job of work. And she came bouncing back in the room telling me about the joy of the Lord was her strength. Hallelujah. Amen. It's in there now. But it's your and my place to reach in there by faith and get it. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy be made full. Now let me back up there to that very first thing that we talked about tonight. What was He specifically talking about asking for? Ask to have the Father reveal to you. When things are down and things are out and things are looking bad and terrible and all that, and you're all wrapped up in this thing and it looks bad, just stop and say, wait a minute, Jesus, thank you. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name for the Holy Spirit to rise within me and reveal my Father to me in this situation. Reveal my Father. Reveal to me how much He loves me. Reveal to me how much He has given me. Your old flesh may be barking back at you saying, why don't you shut up? Why don't you just curse God like Job's wife did? Why don't you just shut up? We were feeling pretty good a while ago wallowing around in His self-pity. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear how good God is. I don't want, He's the one that got us in this mess. He's the one that told me to go on 200 television stations. Why didn't He tell them to send that $1 million a month in there if He's going to tell you to get it? Just shut up anyhow. Reveal my Father to me. Well, I'll tell you something about my Father. When I was dying and going to hell, He reached down in the depths of it and got a hold of me. And He set my feet on solid ground, praise God. I'll tell you something about my Father. I'll tell you something about my Father. When I was 12 years old in Abilene, Texas, with polio, raised up in the bed and froze in position. I couldn't move. And I had reached over to pick up a book and I couldn't move my hand. I was paralyzed. And I laid there scared out of my brain, man. I'm telling you, I couldn't function. I couldn't think. And my body finally fell back down on the bed. I couldn't move my toes. I couldn't move my hands. I couldn't move anything, man. I couldn't move. They thought I just had a bad cold, little flu or something. And all of a sudden, man, I couldn't move nothing. And some of my good friends had already been paralyzed with this thing. Boy, I mean, it had this country so full of fear, it was just full of paralyzation in 1948. And I was scared and frightened, and I hollered at my mother, and she came in there. And the fear of it struck her face, but then something else struck her face. And she fell on her face. She fell down beside my bed right at that moment. She didn't give two flips in the wind about what the Baptist said about healing. Amen. Now, I'm not coming down on the Baptists. If they'd had any revelation of it, they'd have preached it. Thank God. I mean, they're honest people. But they didn't have any revelation of that in 1948. We didn't either, but my mama knew how to pray. And she just fell on her face, went to crying out to God, and she didn't get up till I could move. It took half of the night, but she got her done. I got up. I was all right. I was about... Oh, I don't know. I don't remember exactly now. Some three and a half hours there or something. I couldn't move, man. I couldn't move nothing but my eyelids. She just tied into it and just prayed it off of me. That's something about my father. That'll bring some joy. What about that? Glory to God. Glory to God. What about all the times since then? What about all the things that I've been through? All the things that I've seen? What about all the blessings? Why, dear God, hallelujah. I'm like that old boy said, I get to thinking about my shoes, my dancing shoes in heaven. I get to thinking about my crown of the soul winner. Woo, glory to God, hold this mule. I'm going to shout, hallelujah. Woo, glory to Jesus. Jesus is Lord, not the devil. Jesus is Lord, not polio. Jesus is Lord, not arthritis. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Some of you having all kinds of business trouble and business problems and all that kind of thing. Well, I'll tell you, instead of worrying and fretting, staying up half the night, you ought to go in there, and I mean, if nothing, it kick all the furniture over, praising and worshiping God. What are you going to let a little old thing like money keep you awake for? My. Kick the slats out of the bed. David got right out and mom what was then equal to the White House, man. Rascal was king. Got right out in the street and threw a fit. And his wife and some of his kinfolk. They always think you're crazy, so who cares? Said, how vulgar. That's all right to act that way when you're jumping up and down out there around them sheep. But you're a king. How vulgar. And you know what he said? I am going to get more vulgar yet. In other words, I want to tell you something, honey. You ain't seen nothing yet. And he shouted and he praised and he worshiped God until it defeated his enemies. Amen. You did all right financially, too. You ought to figure out sometime what he invested in the temple. Some of you boys think you give heavy. He took $90 million worth of gold out of his own personal account and put it in there. That ought to have helped a little. They built a nice place. Amen. The joy of the Lord. 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 Oh, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
ha, ha, ha on the devil. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Come here, Billy. Come here, Billy. Get her a microphone. Get her a mic. Come here. Come here, Billy. Come here right now. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Bring me that microphone. Hurry up. Lead us in a laugh.
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, we thank you for the joy of the Lord springing up out of us. Oh,
laugh. She's leading you. Laugh. Oh. Laugh. Oh. Laugh at the devil. Laugh at yourself. Laugh.
Oh. Oh. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Of you that have had a spirit of sorrow in your life, you're depressed all the time, you're oppressed all the time with something, you've never had any joy and you ain't got any tonight. You'd like to, but you look at the rest of it like a bunch of fools. If you're burdened down with that, we're going to get rid of that thing right now. Amen. Now anybody, yeah, Betty, the Lord's going to have you speak in just a minute. So anybody that's got that kind of burden on you right now, won't you lift your hand? Lift it up to God. I take authority over a spirit of sorrow and grief in the name of Jesus. I call you down. I call you out. And I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. I speak the joy of the Lord unto you. Be thou made whole, for the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. All right, now listen to me for a moment. There is a very, very real place that is called hell, Hades, the place of the damned. No human mind has ever been able to conceive what that place is like, where men and women have lost their soul, they've lost control of their will, they've lost control of their minds, they've lost control of themselves, and yet they are conscious and very much aware, yet they're out of control, man, out of control. The worst drug trip you ever saw in your life is not a drop in the bucket to what those people live in day and night and night and day. The screams from that damned region can be heard throughout all of eternity. The region of the damned. It's loud and it's deafening down there, where people are tormented night and day. Pain of sickness and disease that never leaves. Constant fear of falling. It's called a bottomless pit. Myriads of demons and creatures of torment dwell in that place. Because there are wicked spirits that have been locked up in there, that have been there since the very early days, locked and chained into hell, and they're still doing battle with men in there. Just a horrible, horror pit. And you want some joy? Jesus has blotted out your sin. You're not going there. And your family's not going there. You're not going. All of you that held up your hand wanting joy, I want you to close your eyes and say it out loud. My sins are blotted out. 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 My sins are gone. My sins are blotted out. My sins are blotted out. My sins are blotted out. Now shout about it.
Go ahead, Billy.
Jodi masite levranda dobre makarianda lavra vrasianda. Now I'm preparing you. I'm literally setting you up in this meeting. I worked on you tonight to bring you into greater light and information and truth.
And the joyful shout that came about was a part of bringing you there. For it's men and women and children too who will move in joy that shall walk on through even veiled places. And the veil's going to come off of many things before this week is through. And so you see, I'm preparing you.
Amen.
And I took you to the place that joy doth hold. For it's only there that you behold my presence. In my presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
And the truth that he's leading you into is me. And you cannot be in that place of truth, held back by a lack of joy. I bring forth my people with joy. And so, church, I want you to know it's going to be joyful as you go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I saw in my spirit? A picture of our church services. Sad and mournful. I don't know how in the world we let the devil sell us that bill of goods. But we sat Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday trying to work up a cry. And the Word of God, did you ever think about how we receive communion? We get in there and just get as quiet and just get as sad as you could get. Look like a bunch of prunes. When the Bible says we ought to be having a celebration. Now, there is a time there of judging yourself, but dear Lord, after you get it judged, well, man, there ought to be joy about that. It ought to be celebrating communion, celebrating the resurrection, celebrating the birth of Jesus. Hallelujah. Instead of going in there, you see what happened when we did that? We got in there and tried to be sorrowful, tried to be sad, tried to work all that. No way we could understand God. No way we got any understanding, any comprehension, because we weren't strengthened with might in the inner man. So we compared spiritual things with unspiritual things, and sad and sorrow and filled with grief and bawled and squalled until didn't have nothing to cry about. I was doing that one day, crying, oh, those poor stripes on Jesus' back. And I mean, the Spirit of God shut me up and said, will you shut that up? My back is healed. Get out of that spirit of grief. He said, it was the healing of my back that's brought healing to you. He said, now rejoice and be filled with joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If that very one thing, if that just that thing was carried out, evangelism would be a cinch. The whole world's looking for it. They'll dope to find it. They'll drink to find it. They'll do anything to find it. Well, I want to tell you something. It's in Jesus, and the fullness of the Godhead is in Him. And if He's in you, it's in there. All you need to do is trigger it with the Word of God, with faith, with the love of God in the name of Jesus. He said, ask the Father. Whatever you ask Him in my name, He'll give it you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. And He said, no man can take it away from you. He said, I leave my joy with you. Amen.